Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
The message as we continue in the book of Nehemiah. This week I went away just to spend a couple of days preparing for July and August because Nehemiah is coming to a close and I'm already missing it. Have you loved this book? It's been so, amen, it's been pivotal for our church, rebuilding faithfulness. Today's message is devotion to worship. Devotion to worship. And we spoke last week about developing a purified lifestyle. Worship develops a purified lifestyle. Not just a lifestyle, a purified lifestyle. So today I begin in Nehemiah chapter 12. And I read verse 31 to 47, but I'm only reading about five verses of that. The chapter is from 12, chapter 12, and the message comes from 31 to 47. I will only read a few verses. Verse 31. I led the leaders of Judah to the top of the wall and organized two large choirs to give thanks. One of the choirs proceeded southward along the top of the wall to the dung gate. Verse 38. The second choir, giving thanks, went northward toward the other way to meet them. I followed them, together with the other half of the people, along the top of the wall, past the Tower of the Ovens to the broad wall, then past the Ephraim gate to the old city gate, past the fish gate and the Tower of Hananel, and on to the Tower of the Hundred. Then we continued to the sheep gate, and we stopped at the guard gate. Verse 43, that many sacrifices were offered on that joyous day, for God had given the people cause for great joy. The women and children also participated in the celebration, and the joy of the people of Jerusalem could be heard far away. Verse 46, the custom of having choir directors to lead the choirs in hymns of praise and thanksgiving to God began long ago in the days of David and Asaph. Lord, let your word preach in the heart of every person, even without these lips. For your word is divine, it's powerful, it's cutting, and it's alive. So cut it into the souls of your people. For Lord, in these few minutes, it is never sufficient to communicate the fullness of the word of God. So help us, Lord, to understand your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So we continue with this thought. This is an opportune time to conquer and reclaim our land. Conquer and reclaim our nation. Conquer and reclaim our city. Conquer and reclaim our communities. Conquer and reclaim our homes. And Nehemiah teaches us this. As Israel, under the leadership of Nehemiah, conquered many cities that the enemy had taken from Israel, had taken from the children of God, they began to seek how taking back their inheritance was being granted to them by God, and this was releasing freedom to them to live a new spiritual life. Folks, when we have given up to the world dominates. When we take back what God has given us, the world begins to submit to the spiritual agenda of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's a spiritual reform happened in their nation. And I've been saying it week after week. I believe we're in the greatest hour for a spiritual reform to happen in this nation of Canada. And it begins with each one of us believing it, living out the aspects of it, a purified lifestyle, so we can see it ushered into the now. So spiritual reform was being restored to their society. And I believe God will restore spiritual reform to this society today. Anyone believe that with me? See, this reform is needed both in the high places of our society and in the low sectors of life. Because God is no respecter of person or status. Revival is for all, regardless of race or language, whether we're male or female, adult or child. You'll see in Nehemiah, it was mothers and fathers, the children, the men and the women, the priests, the Levites, the people, the gatekeepers. It was everyone stepping up a new level. And when we together step up to a new level, not a devil in hell will keep the church in bondage. Because we'll be in unity of the Spirit. Revival means a revived attitude or worship unto God. It is a renewed state of interest in Christ. It is a mindset of religious connectivity where multitudes again surrender their lives to Almighty God by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is what you need to take a screenshot of, because we do not understand what revival is. Revival is souls coming into the kingdom. Revival is a revived attitude of worship. It's when the church says, worship is my priority, then revival begins to brew in the hearts of the people. It's when there's a renewed state of interest in Christ, not in church, in Christ. When a renewed interest in Christ comes upon the church, revival begins to break out. When the mindset of religious connectivity comes upon the multitudes and they begin to seek God, you will see them coming into the house of the Lord, surrendering their lives, being saved, and that's revival. I hope you've got a screenshot of that. Send that one out. In order to conquer what has been taken by force from the church, especially what has been diminished by those who say they know Christ, that are Christ followers, there needs to be a unity of heart and a mindset that says, I'm devoted to the kingdom of God amongst all else, above all else. I am going to maintain a heart of worship, because if I am going to be a part of kingdom change for kingdom now, there's got to be continuous worship in my soul. Worship changes everything. Worship changes everything. This week, I had a little setback in my own personal life, something that just threw me off. And I was so shocked and just in kind of a little stupor. And then I said to myself, hello, Pastor. You're going to be preaching on worship. So how are you going to get over this? So I started to worship. Do you know, when you begin to worship, even the hell that came upon you can't stay on you. Do you understand, folks? That's why we've been so beaten up, because we've been, I got a problem. I got to go see a counselor. I need somebody to talk to. Oh, I'm falling apart. Get up and worship, because as we get up and worship, demons tremble, powers and principalities are broken, and what the enemy intended for evil, it turns itself around for good. So in order to conquer, we must take back by force. For too long, many believers have sat back, and all they've been doing is they've been observing church service, distant observers peeping through a keyhole. Folks, this is a time we're going to come eyes wide open, hearts wide open, hands wide open, soul wide open. I am not looking through a keyhole to see what God's going to do. God has the door wide open for us. This is a now moment. We've got to step through it. So Nehemiah is taking this rebuilding a step further now. We've seen chapter after chapter, he was calling everyone through many different messages to take their place as kingdom workers and become devoted servants of God. Now he's going a step further, and he's moving the people into spiritual rejoicing. You're going to see something today that should make your eyes pop open and your heart just leap. He's taking them into spiritual rejoicing. They had gone through many aspects of brokenness, physical brokenness, mental brokenness, emotional brokenness. And now Nehemiah's going, we've gone through the word to build us up. Now we're going to take worship and we're going to go even further. Folks, do you realize Nehemiah chapter 1, Nehemiah wept when he saw the brokenness of Jerusalem. But now in chapter 12, Nehemiah's like, if we weep now, we're going to weep in joy because God is turning it all around. Folks, get ready to watch what God is doing. He's turning it all around. So Nehemiah, in chapter 12, verse 31, he says, I led the leaders of Judah to the top of the wall and organized two large choirs to give thanks. One of the choirs proceeded southward along the top of the wall to the dung gate. Folks, worship is a key to release us from the bondage that has devoured God's people. Do you realize how many people need cannabis? Do you realize how many people can't live now without cannabis? Do you realize that even Christians now are starting to explain why everybody needs cannabis? I'm going to tell you, we need the power of the Holy Ghost. There was a time many Christians were spending their time trying to explain to you why we need a little social drinking. Because it's okay. And I'm not going to diss it. Remember, I'm from Quebec. Most of my friends, they drink their wine with their meal. But it's a culinary experience. In Ontario, it's not a culinary experience. It's a need out of desperation because something inside your soul is empty. Don't like that one. You could try and boomerang it back. I'll boomerang it back again. And folks, it's not a sin, but it is sinful if it's replacing what you need to do. That's the problem. And so now we've got many replacements, got every type of candy and cannabis, this and that. And it's like, it's okay, Pastor, it's medicinal, it's this, it's going to hurt. Have you prayed and asked God to heal you first? Take that one too. With love. Nehemiah divided the people into two groups, and they climbed the wall together to let praises be heard all around their communities. And the purpose of the worship on the wall was to do this thing. The enemy had stood on the wall and yelled insults at them, and the walls were broken down. The enemy had stood at their gates and hurled insults at them when their gates were burned. Now Nehemiah says, if you're going to turn it around, let's show the devil how we're going to take our same stand where they stood before us. Folks, get ready to stand where the enemy stood and let him see we have overcome by the blood of the Lamb, and we will share it in the word of our testimony. He sent the people up on the wall because he was counteracting decades of what an ungodly, unrighteous, wicked nation had done in destroying the confidence of God's people. Church, get ready to rebuild your confidence in Christ and God. Remember what the last question they asked him? Who are you believing in? Where are you getting this confidence from? Nehemiah says, let's get up on the wall and tell them where our confidence comes from as we worship our God before them. Worship and the articles of music had been instituted by King David as an integral part of the nation of Israel's victory. Do you remember David would send out the worshipers before a battle because the battle belongs to the Lord when worship is coming from our lips. And they had come to a time where because of the wickedness and the sinfulness of their nation, all their worship articles were confiscated. The devil has confiscated worship, but I thank God it is being restored in the house of the Lord. Have you been seeing it? So here's what happened in 2 Chronicles 36, verse 18 to 23. Here's what happened. The king, remember, David instituted worship. Now David is dead, and we're later on in life with Israel, who had now given up everything to the enemy. It says, the king took home to Babylon. This is the king of Babylon. All the articles, large and small, used in the temple of God. And the treasures from both the Lord's temple and from the palace of the kings and their officials. And then His army burnt the temple of God, tore down the walls of Jerusalem, burnt all the palaces, and completely destroyed everything of value. The few who survived were taken as exiles to Babylon, and they became servants to the king and his sons until the kingdom of Persia came to power. So the message of the Lord spoken through Jeremiah was fulfilled. The land finally enjoyed its Sabbath rest, lying desolate until 70 years were fulfilled, just as the prophet said. So when we came into Nehemiah, this passage was being fulfilled. 70 years was now coming towards an end, and God was putting back. It wasn't 70 fully yet, because that comes in about Daniel's time, but this was the reinstatement of worship in the kingdom of God. I'm going to tell you, Canada for 3-4 decades has lost its worship, but we have been blessed by God to be on the cutting edge now of seeing worship restored in the nation again. And I want you to step into it, because God has given us a privilege. Not everyone has this great privilege we have, but we have been called to worship. So Nehemiah teaches us. He sent them out to worship the Lord in groups, and he led the groups. Why? The time of weeping was over. They had suffered, but God had put a king in Persia who gave them favor. I don't know which one of our governmental, I just lost it. Parliamentary people are going to give us favor, but we, this church, are going to start praying favor out of them. All we keep hearing, I know our lawyer can tell you, they still have on the docket to remove charitable status from the church. And I'm going to tell you, my prayers are one way. The one who brings it forward next, put them to lie down in Jesus' name. But I need people who will believe with me that God will do it. Don't touch God's church. It's a time for the church to be released, and the wealth of the wicked shall become for the kingdom of God. So Nehemiah sent them out to worship, and they put them in two groups, one going from the south, one coming from the north. The first group went with Ezra, and they worshiped on the wall. Nehemiah summoned. Who did he summon? God lovers. God lovers are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ today. He says, follow me in worship. And they went past the dung gate. Now, this is amazing. We have made worship and prayer so mystical rather than practical that we've removed the excitement from it. I see sometimes people are standing going, you guys look so, like it's just so much, you know. I told you this. I just can't wait to meet this pastor. I've put it out there, but nobody has given me his name or his connect. Some pastor out in the West put out that preachers who have to preach so passionate that they don't understand the word of God. I can't wait to meet that one. I'm going to slap him to meet Jesus. Foolishness. Jesus was passionate. Without passion. Have you seen anything in the world that lacks passion? Have you seen anything in the world that lacks passion? Huh? That's a devil's lie to get us to be like, bless the Lord, oh my Lord. But if I'm going to go sing one of, if I'm going to go out and sing, who's hot today? Who? Taylor Still Swift? Sorry. They line up and sleep overnight to go to Taylor Swift so they can do this, and then we should come in on Sunday and go. You ever seen guppies in a water? You ever seen guppies? We're not guppies. We're children of the Most High God. Nehemiah led them. He sent Ezra with the first group. This is interesting. We've made it so mystical that we forgot the practicality of worship. Do you know what he made Ezra do? Ezra, the man of the word who had led them, he said, you go first from the south. And he says, I want you to take them. Two groups, right? One from the south, one from the north. Let me ask you something. The south is usually what? Word. One word. Three letters. Hot. He says, get all the hot ones and start from the south. Because the north is what? Yeah, I'm going to come after with the North when they hear how the South's going. Thank God our church is situated south. He says, take them. Take them on top of the wall. And here's what he says. Oh, this is so good. He says, walk them down to the dung gate and worship. Hello? Do you know what the dung gate is? The dung gate was the cisterns where the poop came. Yes, yes, poop. Saying it in the pulpit. Filth, poop, sewer. We're still on a septic. We're trying to get our poop off septic. Do you realize that whenever our septic doesn't work, we've got to pay $30,000 to send somebody down to clean it? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why when we talk about tithing, you don't give it. One day we're going to send you down. The reason it costs so much is if you're going to go down and do that, they want to be paid for that. Right? So folks, Nehemiah said, we're going to go by the dung gate. We're going to stand by the dung gate and worship. Nehemiah, come on, be more spiritual than that. You know, be more spiritual. You know what Nehemiah is saying to them? Ezra, when you walk them by the dung gate, let them remember when Israel was filled with poop and filth and trash. And when the other nations looked at us, all they saw was filthy, dirty, good for nothing, can't make it, poor, despised people. He says, you go down by that gate that we've built up and worship. He says, stand there and let them know the filth is gone, the poop is gone, and I'm rejoicing. My kids will not grow up in this. Anybody ever been to one of, if you've ever been to one of those places like I've been in Africa, where you're walking in those compounds where everything is swimming. I won't name the place because God is cleaning it up. Many missionaries are there. But early in the years when I used to go, we went and we would always go into those places because I never wanted a team with me that didn't know how to walk among the people. And so I had this team, and I had one young lady who was a nurse, so she came to help with medical stuff, but she was from a very big state in the U.S. and very, you know, very prime person. And so we were sharing with them, okay, we're going to get to a certain part, and they have planks of wood that goes over Peepu River. And she goes, the what? I said, you'll know what it is when we're crossing over. Okay. So we got there, and you have to be very careful as you're walking on those planks over Peepu River. And she is, she's just a little prissy, and like, oh my God, oh, it stinks. I'm like, just walk straight. That's Nehemiah on the wall. I said, we are like, walk straight, don't move, because I can't stand the smell. And I'm like, stay still. And she's going like that, and the thing wobbled. Put it this way, we wrapped her up in blankets. We put her in the van, and we sent the driver back to the hostel that we were staying at and made them hose her down outside. And so from that time on, she learned when you're crossing Peepu River, one foot at a time, stay focused, forget the stench, it's just stench. Don't worry about all that. Just walk nicely and you'll be fine. I'll tell you, she's never traveled with me again. God bless her. You're lucky, church. I'm such a better person. Here's the thing. Nehemiah says, get on that wall and let's show all of those that were laughing at us how we can give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. And then as Ezra, they read the word, they danced before the Lord. They marched on the top of the walls through the city. That which was broken down, they had restored. And the people watching got to see them, because God is no respecter of persons. I want to tell you, in Easter, we went to the arena by the casino with our service. Do you know what? It's still, folks, we're still getting results from Do you realize that the statistics now that we're seeing are showing us that over 1,000 of the close to 2,000 people that were there, over 1,000 of them were unchurched or new people that God had given us to come into that place that would never come into the church. Many got saved. Many are going to different places. And I want to just encourage them, keep on worshiping. Do you know there were many religious people peeping through the keyhole who didn't come? And I say to you, in Jesus' name, you have no idea how God is going to release some of those ones who came to that arena to be better than you. Let it hurt. Because sometimes we need to tell the truth. Don't let me offend you if I tell the truth. Because here's the thing, girls, and men, and women, and children, and young people. God is looking for us to worship wherever we are. Worship is not about the church. Worship is what I carry in my spirit where I go. That's why, where did he send them first? To the dung gate, to the poop gate, because he wanted everyone outside to see God can clean up the mess of everybody's life and turn it all around. That's what we're believing for. The second group went with Nehemiah. And this group went the opposite direction, ensuring that they covered every space. And Nehemiah led them. The Bible says they went by the Tower of Ovens, which is called the Tower of Furnaces, which had been rebuilt. And just imagine, folks, as they're getting past the Tower of Furnaces. Bible says they had to pass the Fish Gate. The Fish Gate was where all the produce was coming back in. Because remember, Sanballat and Tobiah owned those gates, but God gave it back to them. They had to go by the sheep gate, and the sheep gate is where their livelihood came in. But remember, Tobiah and Sanballat had owned the gates, and so even the sheep that is to sacrifice to God, they were in control of. But when God begins to give back his people their blessing, nobody owns our gates. So Nehemiah says, come. We're going by the sheep gate and the fish gate, and we're going to the Tower of Ovens. What was the Tower of Ovens, or the Tower of Ovens, or the Tower of Furnaces? You know what that was? It was where they cooked the food. It's where they sacrificed the sheep. It's where they roasted the fish. Any of you ever had fish roasted by the seashore? Oh, Nate, no? You've been deprived, boy. You've been deprived. We're going to send you back to Barbados. Born in Canada, raised in Canada, and ain't had fish by the seashore. Anybody ever had fish by the seashore? Is that fish or is that fish? Let me tell you how it works. The fishermen go out, they catch the fish, they come to the seashore, they clean it, they throw it in these fires, and they roast it, or they have their big pots of oil, and they fry it. When you sit by that seashore and eat that, you say, Jesus, I'm ready for heaven. Those of you that are all Canadian born, when you go on your vacation in the islands, go tell them, tell the hotel, I don't want no more hotel food. Take me to one of those fish gates. Amen? Right? Oh, good, good, good. All of those from Barbados, anyone from Barbados knows, remember the name of the place? Is it Oyskins? Ah? Oystins. I didn't say it right. I've been there a lot. I share that just to say, Nehemiah took them from the north. They're coming around. Those are coming from the dung gate. These guys are coming from that Tower of Ovens. They're singing as they walk on the wall. Remember, it's not a small wall. They're encircling the entire city. And as they're coming around that wall, they're singing, God, you've been so good. God, look at us. We're sacrificed. It says they sacrificed so many sheep. They stopped and they sacrificed. They sang. Can you imagine the enemies of the church listening to us worship at every gate in our life? And the enemy's going, what is wrong with those people? First, they were burnt and broken, and we control them. Now, their God has helped them restore everything, and they've taken it all back. Now, they're standing. standing on the wall we stood at, and they're taunting us with their worship. And the Bible said they worshiped even louder. They stopped at the guard gate and they worshiped. Why were they at the guard gate? Remember, the gates were open, the gates were broken, the gates were non-existent. I preach about it, go back and listen. The gates are our protection. The gates bring in our provision, and the gates block the enemy. Now they stood at the gate and they're like, guards, bless you, because now the devil will not rape the church. We are going to strip him down because our gates are in order. Oh, somebody say amen this morning. And so as they stood at all these gates, the Bible says in Ezra chapter 3, which reflects Nehemiah chapter 12. With praise and thanks, they sang this song to the Lord. He is good. His faithful love for Israel endures forever. Then all the people gave a great shout, praising the Lord, because the foundation of the Lord's temple had been laid. But many of the older priests, the Levites, and the other leaders who had first seen the first temple wept aloud when they saw the new temple of foundation. The others, however, were shouting with joy. And the joyful shouting and weeping mingled together in a loud voice that could be heard far in the distance. Ezra writes this part when they had finished the temple. I'm bringing it in to tell you, Nehemiah did not record when they were walking on the wall what they sang, but Ezra reminds us of what they sang, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Has he been good to you? Has his love been enduring to you? See, when you begin to worship the Lord, it doesn't matter your style of music. Music is transitional. Music has always had a variety of transition. Different people set the tone with new phases in life. We had hymns that we're going to have tonight because the hymns have theology in it and power. Young people, you can't afford to miss it, because if all you're caught up in is today's song, you're missing something in the foundation of your life for the future. And then we went through, we had many styles. We had... I just blanked and I didn't write it in my notes. Oh, what was the 80s again? What? Andre Crouch and Maranatha. Thank you. Anybody remember Maranatha? Yes, the young people are going, watch the music guy go, whoa. Right? Christy, you can't put your hand up. It'll make you look older. My Christy's young. She just grew up in church. You remember Maranatha? And after Maranatha was Integrity something? Is what? Hosanna Integrity. Anybody remember Hosanna Integrity? So you went hymns, which strengthened the church. That's why we are so powerful. And then he went to Maranatha, which taught us a different style of worship. And then Hosanna Integrity. And then after that, Vineyard. The Vineyard music, right? Okay, and then Hill Songs. Anybody remember Hill Songs? Mountains, man. No, that's not that one. It was the other one. Shout to the Lord. Yes, but music is transitional. And then came Bethel or Elevation? Elevation or Bethel, right? No, Bethel came first. Bethel Music produced a lot of people. I wrote to Brian Johnson, Jen Johnson, Christian DeMarco, Paul McClure, Emma Rose, Josh Baldwin, David Funk, John Wiles, Brandon Lake, Dante Bowie, Jeremy Riddle, Heslers, Corey Ashbury. We think all they came out of Maverick City or those came first from Bethel, and then came Elevation, and then they moved on. Music is transitional. And then came Maverick City, and we're now all Mavericky. But can I tell you, if you all, even in the days we had a Maverick car, you don't drive a Maverick all your life. You move to the next model. It's time to let music be full from beginning to end. in as we worship the Lord. Devotion to worship develops a purified lifestyle. And I want you to know, don't be camped on, this is who I am, this is what I like. Maverick City will move on, just like Elevation moved on. Come on, worship team. And just like everything else moves, it's not the type of music you like, it is the heart of worship. It's the heart of worship. So Nehemiah says, we're going to walk on top of the wall. We're going to carry our worship past the dung gate. We're going to go past the sheep gate. Go past the fish gate. Go past the guard gate. But all that we're going to do, whatever gate we're at in our lives, we're going to worship. Because his mercy endures forever. Folks, we're needing to bring true worship back to the church. The enemy took all the worship leaders. All of those singers, name them, that came out of the church. Yes? Name the secular ones, they came out of the church. Name the current ones that are sliding. Oh, well, you know, I'm just going to mix a little bit of the world because the world needs. I heard something that I'm going to have to go back. It was just one of those bleeps on your phone or something. Some big singer. Some big sinner. I don't know his name. I'm going to have to look it up. I'm going to not falsely accuse, but I did see it. Some huge singer that's secular that I think does either rock or something. He did something where he said, you know, I love God. I'm still a cussing. I'm still a smoking. I'm still a drinking. But I love God and I'm going to sing a worship song. I went, woo-hoo. Woo, 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 woo. Sing a song, brother. But that ain't a worship. Sing a song, brother. You're going to have to look that one up for me. It's some big guy with a whole bunch of tattoos and stuff. You're going to find him for me. Who? Jelly Roll? Is he Jelly Roll with a whole bunch of tattoo and a big long beard? And he's like, ugh. Yeah. Big, okay. Let me tell you something, Jelly Roll, in the name of Jesus. That was not worship. You're gifted and you sing, but worship is when you're glorifying God with your life. And we have allowed the truth of worship to escape the church. Don't any of you buy into that nonsense. Don't any of you buy into it. Worship is not about how gifted you are to play music. Worship is not about how gifted you are to sing. Worship is when your song is coming from the deep of your soul. Because you, why? Because you're thankful to God. Because his mercy endures forever. Forever. Is that who it is? Okay. Whether it be Jelly Roll or Jelly on Roll. I'm going to tell you, young people, be very discerning so that whatever you're worshiping to is glorifying God. That's what matters, not the style. I don't want you to, you know, oh, they're going to do hymns and it's so boring. Oh, yeah, when we were growing up, it wasn't boring. Huh? It was not boring. And let me tell you something. Oh, just pause for a minute there. Just pause for a minute. You know what? Just pause for a minute. Hear me. Throw me a letter. Throw me a letter, somebody. A? Which one? R? R. Oh, you threw me off. I'm so good at this. Wait. Yes. I don't know why I blank. I never blank. Isn't it true, Christy? I go from A to Z. Why did I just blank? Holy Ghost, forgive me. Okay, let's go H. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me as to thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Nearer, blessed Lord, precious bleeding my Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. To thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, it's at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart, it rolled away. Oh, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now folks, music is transitional. It's not transactional, it's transitional. And whether you're in love with Maverick City or Elevation or this one or that one, what matters is that at the point in your life, you can pull out the song of worship. And so we're gonna become a people of worship. We're gonna become a people of worship. Nehemiah said, no matter what gate you're at, you're going to let the unbelieving people know. See, when God is a priority in your life, you have no choice but to worship. When God is the priority in your life, nowadays everything is we need more counselors. I'm going to tell you right now, we need more worship. We need counselors, but we need more worship. Because the counselor can only take you so far, but worship will give you your victory. And that's what the next generation, that's why it's important for you to come out and learn to worship in things you don't understand. Because when all hell breaks loose, you're going to pull something out that's going to pull you out. So when you're grateful for what God has restored or developed, you have no choice but to worship. When you're truly thankful for the victories, God, Israel stood on the wall. They're like, we were broken down, but we're rebuilt. I got something to thank God for. When you're believing for breakthroughs, you worship. You don't just go, I need a breakthrough, I need help. No, you begin to worship. Great is his faithfulness, and you begin to see things change. When you are devoted to Christ in worship, devils back up. So that same God of Nehemiah is the same God today. Same God, same God.
We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review it if you enjoyed. You can also help us reach others by investing in our church at ppclife.ca/give. Thank you again for joining us today at Our PPC Life.